This week on the Rock for Him podcast, we talk to Adam Castro of Classic Disaster.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Rock for Him podcast. If you don't know me, I'm Jeremy, a.k.a. the Big Boy, and with me are my two co-hosts. First up is my brother in crime, my best friend. This is Jason Sanchez-Bukowski. Bro, how's it going?
Man, my day got better when I seen your name pop up. I have missed you on here so much.
Definitely, the feeling is mutual. And our newest member, Kira Soto. Kira, what's up, man?
Hi, I'm glad you're here, too.
I am glad to be back.
Yay.
And I knew I had to come back this week because our guest is probably one of the coolest guys that we know. This is Adam Castro of Classic Disaster. Bro, welcome back.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? I'm happy to be here. Happy to see you guys. Happy to finally talk with you guys again.
It's been, what, about 2 years, Jay?
Has it really been that long?
Ooh. Yeah, I think you were, like, late season one, early season two.
Yeah.
That's too long.
Yep. Way too long.
Especially because we do the same thing. We just like talking about these awesome Christian rock and metal bands and, you know, dissecting the songs and enjoying them together as a family. And
absolutely. Yeah.
Congratulations to you guys, by the way, getting on Solid Rock Radio.
Yeah, thank you.
What a blessing. What an awesome blessing. Rejoicing with you guys. And so cool. So cool.
You know, it has been fantastic being on Solid Rock. Like, I didn't realize how or what we were getting ourselves into when we joined Solid Rock until I was actually listening and I hear, and I'm meteorologist, blah, 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 for Solid Rock Radio. And I was like, we have a staff meteorologist? Like, what am I doing?
We had to level up our game.
For
you're
sure.
Doing the Lord's work. That's what you're doing.
Right. Trying. So what's new in the Classic Disaster camp?
So much, my goodness! In 2 years, it's been a lot has gone on. I want to say I was on the show before we released the EP, right?
Yes.
We had maybe a song or two.
Yep.
We released that EP back in 2024, I think. Maybe it was 2023. And the years just kind of get mixed up. I was thinking about it the other day. I was like, man, established in 2020, we've been a band for 6 years. And it's so crazy when you know, you factor in all the life things that happen and the shows you've been able to do. And, you know, we definitely have not put out enough music. So that's something that we're going to be working on as soon as we get into the studio. We're just going to be busting out as many songs as possible. But we released that EP, 6-song EP, and was really excited to share the like album version of the songs that I don't know if you guys remember Contagion Fest that was put on Christian Rock X and iChristian Rock. But when I was a solo act and just a one-man band, there were 3 songs that were shared during the Phase 2 live stream. And they finally got their album versions, Open Your Eyes, and Suffering, and Never Alone. So I was really happy to be working with the guys on those songs and being able to like release them and have them be what they were meant to be. And you'll see those right next to the other 3 songs, To the Ground, Escape, and Broken System. So did you guys get a chance to check those songs out?
Ah. Of course, I think the first one that I heard from you guys was actually Broken System.
Okay.
I think that was the very first one I heard. And I was like, okay, all right, I'm digging this. And Jeremy's like, no, you got to hear more. So I started listening to more. I'm like, all right. Yeah. So, yeah. And
yeah.
Yeah, and your broken cool. system video is really cool too.
Thanks. Yeah, that was all done in a garage with a green screen. Probably looks like it just a little bit. you know what I've noticed as a band, it really does make a difference when you can see the band members. And that's right now really the only video that we have out there that's a music video where you can actually see us. And I think that that's so cool when you spend that little extra bit of budget, a little bit of extra time, a little bit of extra effort in editing, just so that people can see you and be able to catch the way that you express your songs and vocals, music, like the instruments, the guitarist, the drummer, everything. So, you know, that was our chance to be able to do that and hopefully just introduce ourselves to people in that kind of visual way.
So you sent us a song recently that you did, Pray for Peace.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about that? Because it is such a powerful tune.
Yeah, no, I'd love to. And I'll preface with saying that I'm not going to go political with it, and I don't want to be too political at all.
Yeah.
I'm surprised at maybe how political it's been taken, but won't name any names. The song was written in the aftermath of an event that happened, and I was noticing how online, on Facebook, in forums, the friends that I grew up with in high school, there was so much generalization being thrown one way and the other. And you can apply this to really anything that's happening current or in the past. You can apply this to politics, religion, people groups, whatever. We as human beings have a temptation to tribalize and to generalize and to think that because one thing happened to one person or one person did this one thing, or then we just start saying, well, everybody like that is this way, and we need to be completely against everybody in that side of the camp and demonize and attack and just generalize. And I was seeing that happen so much, and my heart was broken by that thought that, like, are we really praying for peace, or are we praying for peace? Like, how can we say with our mouths that we want to have peace when all we want is a piece of the fight? Like, it's like when one bad thing happens, we're ready to go with an attack to whatever group of people or whatever, you know, issue there is, so that we can just yell at someone and scream at someone and attack and fight for our side. Like, I was really convicted with the idea that do we really want peace, or do we just want to fight? Do we just want, like, you know, the fight that we can be in? It'd be Keyboard Warriors. Like, the artwork for the album, or that the song there, having this little skeleton dude in a church, like Christians, right? Even Christians, like, we'll think, oh, we're right, you know, and we're justified in attacking these people and saying these bad things about all these people and just generalizing. And we are killing our brothers and sisters and attacking them in that way, blood coming from the laptop, because all we're doing is attacking and attacking and attacking, and we're not fighting for peace. We're not trying to extend a hand across the table in any area that might mean, to try to talk and reason and debate and actually have fruitful conversations. And that was a huge conviction of mine. So that was what kind of sparked the idea of the song, is calling those things out. Like, do we really want peace, or are we praying for peace? Are we being a part of that, or are we praying with an E, right? Are we attacking people? And there's a line in the song that says, pray for peace with the blood on your hands, pray for peace that you'll never have, because we're just constantly being a part of that cycle. So yeah, that's really the heart and message behind Pray for Peace.
Love it. And when you sent that to us and told me the meaning behind it, I must have listened to it probably 15 times, like, within 2 days. That song is so good, vocally, musically, the meaning behind it, everything. It's just so powerful.
Thanks, man. That means a lot.
Loved it. And real quick, before I turn it over to everyone else, we got a few comments here. a frequent commenter in our Facebook group, John Coral. He said we're teasing everybody. He thought we had John Cooper on.
Oh, man.
Sorry.
Oh, man. Oh, well. Sorry. Beard's not long enough, unfortunately. Can I just say right now, I am so impressed with John Cooper and his ability to tame that beard, because I've tried to grow my beard out. It is work. It is a tough thing to tame a beard. And there's people that can do it, like Jake Lurs of August Burns Red. Right now he's rocking a long beard. It's work. It's an art. It's an art. And that man is an artiste when it comes to his beard.
I tried, and my wife was like, no, go trim it now. So
this one. Yeah. My wife likes it long, but it's too much of an upkeep, so I just trimmed mine. She was like, no.
Evidently, it's worth it. I don't understand it. I don't have that art gene or whatever. But that's why it's so impressive. John Cooper not only has it and can tame it, but he made a whole business out of it too with his what was it called?
Super stuff oils. Yeah.
Yeah, that's so cool. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, he doesn't have that stuff anymore though.
Not anymore. It was like Hatchet and like something in Hatchet. Sorry, Hawk I have
Hatchet, yeah. I, Hawk and Hatchet. I have
opened this monster and it's starting to squeal. Can you hear it? And so I'm just gonna go the full way. So I'm sorry. It'll be a can noise.
All right, what you got, Kira?
Well, I was telling these guys earlier, Adam, that I normally do a lot of research before I get the chance to interview anyone, and I couldn't find a whole lot on you guys. There's not a whole lot of stuff on there. But I do know that you are going to be coming to Ohio this year. So do you want to talk about that, since I wasn't able to dig up a bunch of stuff?
Yeah. No, we have stayed pretty local, and God has blessed us with a lot of opportunities. We're all right now in our 30s, and so we're not in the young game right now. Not able to really like spend a whole lot of time out touring. And so a lot of the opportunities that we've been able to take advantage of have been locally, and then a lot in Arizona. And so God has blessed us with an opportunity to be able to travel to Ohio and be a part of the Undead Revival Fest. And that is so cool. If you haven't checked out that lineup right now, it is insane. We're going to be playing with Heal the Hurt. We're going to be playing with Diamonds to Dust. We're going to be playing with Collective Dust. I don't know what the terrain looks like, but evidently it's going to be a lot of dust. And if those mosh pits are kicking, it'll be even more.
Don't worry. Cleansing of the temple will come and clean it all up.
There we go. See? There we go. Exactly. I like it. It's going to be awesome. We're so blessed to be able to travel out there and do that. Our bassist is originally from Ohio. And so it's going to be fun to kind of play in his hometown area. We don't have a lot right now because honestly, we've just been taking opportunities as they come. And I think that this is the first year where it's like, hey, we've got our EP out. We're ready to start writing and putting out new songs for a full album, which has been in the works for a long time. But the doors have just kind of opened, for us to have a full group to go and do that. And this is the year. The coming soon has now arrived. And
I'm excited. I'm gonna be there. I already know I'm gonna be there. I was there last year. It was amazing. I'm excited for this year, so I will definitely be able to get to meet you guys. I'm excited.
That's so awesome. Yeah, it's gonna be a lot of fun. There's a whole family out in other states. I'll be honest. California, it's rough to find the specifically the Christian rock family, because there's a cool thing happening with like Christian deathcore and like impending doom, even like Sleeping Giants coming back, and they're going to be at the Glass House in Pomona. That's super cool. But as much as I connect with that genre, and we are like heavy, and we'll be getting heavier. You guys heard the song, like there's places that we're going to be going with new music that we didn't go in the EP. But I grew up on Christian rock. I grew up on Thousand Foot Crutch and Cutlass and Red and Skillet, and you know, like that is my heart. And it's tough to find that community out in California, So seeing the festivals in other states and now finally being able to be a part of that family and join and see you guys, like it's going to be surreal. So we're super excited about it.
Yeah. The music, the family out here for that metal, Christian metal community is, I see why, because I'm not originally from Ohio. I moved from Utah to Minnesota to here, but I see why God put me here. It is amazing, and everyone just loves each other, takes care of each other. I get to be a huge part of the metal community now. So grateful, so grateful.
Yeah, I'm excited. It's gonna be great.
So for people that haven't seen you on here before, can you just share a little bit about your testimony, how you came to know Christ?
Yeah, thankfully I grew up in the church. My mom was a believer. My dad wasn't a believer, but just through my mom and the church and different people's examples and God was able to work on his heart as well. And grew up in the church. I knew a lot about God. I grew up in kind of a real conservative, strict church, but had a lot of good foundation, had a lot of God's word. And so I knew a lot about God, and I don't think it was until that turn between middle school and high school that I actually knew, like, oh, like I need to make this my own. I was at this summer camp, and it was a leadership camp that I was a part of from a program I was a part of called Awana. And I had memorized all these verses, I had done all these things, and at the camp I realized, like, oh, there's kids who are doing the same thing as me, and they're not serious about this at all. And I definitely look like that in different areas of my life, and I don't want it to be that way. Like, I want this to be real. I really struggled with living a double life and being one way at school, one way in front of my family and my church, and like I asked God to like help me be one person. Help me to be one person that is imperfect and still for you to be able to use. And that was when I really made the efforts in my life to just allow God to prune me and to cut away habits that I had done and that double life. And since then, he's just given me so many opportunities to serve in the church and outside of the church, being able to do music, a couple music groups before Classic Disaster started. But then like COVID happened, and I asked myself like this almost the same question of like, God, what is it that you want me to do? Like, what am I here for? What are you calling me to do? And starting Classic Disaster was one of those things. And here we are.
Very nice. Jeremy, what you got, brother?
So what's the meaning behind the name Classic Disaster?
Yeah. Any guys listen to Under Oath? You guys like Under Oath? Old school Under Oath, you know?
Old school.
Yeah. And I know old school is like there's like four different versions of that, right? Old school, like Lost in the Sound of Separation. I grew up with They're Only Chasing Safety as one of the first CDs that I ever like received. My older brother had it. And it actually had like the DVD along with it. So I was able to see some like behind the scenes stuff. I had like a vivid memory of Tim drinking a gallon of milk and then throwing up in a shoe. And I thought that was awesome for some reason. but like the touring life and the band life, I was like, oh man, these guys are so cool and so awesome. So that album in particular was really close to me, and had a special place in my heart. And I love that style of music where it's aggressive, it's raw, and it's emotional, not quite like metal core or like heavy metal kind of stuff, but also not soft either. Just raw emotion and just great, epic, chaotic music. And so, I had been a part of a bunch of different music groups, and like finding a band name is so hard. It's so funny how many band names you can go through, in one lifetime. But, as part of that, like question that I asked myself in 2020 of like, what's going to be the name, like the last band name you ever want to have, that's going to just be the thing that just survives past you and all that. And, I thought of this frequent song I would listen to from They're Only Chasing Safety, where there's a lyric in there that says, you're a classic disaster with a knack for looking at your exterior. and staring at the mirror. Mm. And I used to listen to that and think like existentially, I'd look in the mirror and be like, who are you? Like, you know, like, I don't know if you guys ever have moments like that in your life where like things are so messed up and you're in the bathroom crying or whatever. And you look at yourself in the mirror and you're just like, who even are you? What did you do? Or like, I just found myself in that place a lot as a kid. And I always would listen to that song and feel that way. And that's where the name came from that song, Young and Aspiring. And that, mm-hmm. that feeling in that moment of like, you're a classic disaster with a knack for losing your exterior, staring at the mirror. And I always took that to mean like, you can lose yourself. You can lose yourself when you look at, when you're like too obsessed with who you are. You can lose yourself when you're too tunnel visioned on what you think you are, and you need to focus more on who God wants you to be. Hmm. And so that theme really carries over a lot into our songs, where I'm talking about not feeling like you're good enough, not feeling lost, feeling trapped, feeling like you're a classic disaster in that place, and recognizing that the only place that you can look to for hope is God and his provision and faithfulness in your life. And if you listen to a lot of the songs that have been put out already, a lot of them are prayers of just crying out to God in that moment of needing to cry out to God. So yeah, that's where the name came from.
Love that's it. A really awesome story. You actually just inspired my next video that I'm gonna do, because I understand what you're talking about. Not focusing on who you are too much and then you lose yourself in it. That's deep, and I think a lot of people can relate to that.
Yeah,
for sure. So what comes next? I know you said that you got a full CD coming out. When are we going to start seeing some singles from it?
You're going to start seeing some singles soon. Pray for Peace was not one of those. It's Pray for Peace is a standalone, needed to be written, needed to get out. And also, like, the band was going through some lineup changes recently. And we finally locked in our group. We're so blessed to have, you know, I'll tell you this story. It's fun. So, both of our longtime drummers our new drummer. I just had bubbles. Is that a thing? Ooh, not bubbles, balloons. Is that a thing?
It must be.
Oh, okay. Nice. Oh, that's celebration. Yeah. that's cool. It's technically very close to my daughter's birthday. My wife and I just had a baby.
I was gonna say congratulations.
So we're all telling my son like it's her birthday, you know, because it is. So her name's Emma. That's been a cool, an amazing blessing, a new thing that's happened in the band, you know, in my life at least. She'll be making it to shows for sure. Yay. What was I talking about? Sorry.
New band members.
Awesome. Sorry. I get distracted really easily. New band members. Yes. We locked in, people and this is the story. That's right. So Zach was our first drummer and he's playing with Unworthy now in, SoCal and, SoCal Deathcore. And, we, when he was playing with us, we found him on Facebook Marketplace. And he was like, we put out an ad and like, hey, we need a drummer. And with these kind of influences, and he sent us a message and he joined the band. Right. And so, as we've been looking for, another drummer and trying to find somebody, it was funny that I'm on Facebook Marketplace for various reasons. Facebook Marketplace is a fun place to be. But all of a sudden I see like, hey, drummer looking for a Christian project. And he's like, Christian worship, Christian rock, or Christian metal. Influences, Under Oath, August Burns Red. And I'm like, what? And then he's like, in the city that I live in the same city. I'm like, what? So we meet for coffee, we have a few practices, and boom, he's in. And he's been a blessing to get to know, and so he's excited to finally get out and do some shows with us. And that's been the big reason for kind of a pause in releasing music and a pause in doing too many shows. Julio Garcia, who plays with a band called Slaves to Nothing from Arizona, he's been filling in for us. And we were able to open up for Disciple in Arizona, and that was an amazing experience, and like still taking opportunities to be able to get out there and do some shows and everything. But it feels like it's a new chapter with a solid group. And so that's where we're at right now. Mm-hmm. So we are writing for an album. When we first started playing shows, I asked God for like something to say and for something to share, because I have grown up with bands, I'm sure that you guys all know, like Disciple and Cutlass, and bands that would share a message, share their hearts, share something with their crowd, knowing that this is an opportunity to encourage, this is an opportunity to bring someone to Christ, this is an opportunity to just connect. And I've always wanted to do that. If there's one thing that I've always wanted to do, no matter the crowd, whether it's a Christian show, a non-Christian show, whatever, I wanted to connect in some way. And right before we started doing shows, my wife and I lost our first child, and 10-week pregnancy, and we lost our first child, and it was devastating, and it was the worst. It felt like the worst thing that could ever happen in our lives. And you go into this place where it, like, you understand nihilism, like you understand this feeling of like this, like, do I really believe everything that I've read and everything that I know to be true? Like, do I really believe this? Because I just lost the thing that I love more than anything in the world. And I don't feel like I deserve that. You know, I don't feel like that was supposed to happen to me. And you start looking at yourself and you start looking inward. And over the course of just the days that felt like years in and of themselves, of the waves of grief and everything, like I just felt the comfort from God in his presence, and just telling me to lean on what you know is true. Lean on what you know is true. I am the redeemer of all things. In Christ, he redeems. He is the redeemer. And I leaned on that story of Peter in the boat, and thinking like all of this world is like being out in the water. And if we try to go in our own strength, if we try to look inward too much, if we try to base things on our own understanding, like we are going to sink. And that if we reach out our hand, that Christ is there to hold us. And I had to just remind myself that our child was the Lord's. My wife constantly tells me this all the time, even with our two kids now, that they're the Lord's. They're not ours. They're gifts from God. They're not ours. Yep. So with all that being said, this album is going to touch on a lot of those themes, because the EP songs were written before all that had happened. And there were a lot of things that were so far untapped in the themes that we wanted to write about. And the things that I really wanted to pour out from going through that. And so, as you can imagine, that's a deep place to go. And even years after it happening, it's still a place that's scary to go to, but that's where the album's going to be pulled from. A lot of those themes of just losing a loved one, not understanding why, having questions about that, real questions. Was it the sin that I was committing that caused this? Was it God? Like, why me? That's kind of the place that I really want that album to go, but also leaning on the truth that Christ is present, that he is a redeemer of all, and that we can have a fearlessness going into life, knowing that everything in this world, everything in this life will pass, and that he is a redeemer of all, and that we can, that he will remain faithful, and that he remains good, and he's right there with us through all of it. So that's where my heart's at for writing for the new music.
Well, now I'm just that much more excited for it.
Yeah. Right.
Before I turn the mic over to my co-host here, a couple quick things. So as a girl dad, I just want to tell you, enjoy every moment of it, because you look down at that baby girl's face right now and you know that you will literally give your life for her. My daughter is now 17, and we just did a college visit in Kentucky over the weekend, 6.5 hours away from me. Like, I'm looking
six
at that going,
6.5 hours too far, right?
Yeah. I'm like, how can I let my baby girl go? I remember holding her, like the doctor putting her in my hands. So she's going to drive you crazy. You're going to want to lock her in a closet at some point. But enjoy every moment, because, again, she'll drive you crazy, but it's also the most blessed thing that has ever happened to me is having a baby girl. Seeing her grow up and just have this love and passion for God and His Word. Mm. So that's just my advice to you. Enjoy every single minute of it.
I appreciate it, man. And I'm so thankful that, like, I feel like in everyday life, kids, like, having kids is so, like, negative for some reason to people in the world sometimes. It can, oh no, you got another one, how are you going to handle it? And, like, it's almost seen as a inconvenience. And I think as believers, we know that children are a gift from God.
Yeah.
And that they're a blessing, and sometimes they're given to us to learn, you know, and to grow as ourselves. But, like, we take care of those gifts, and we're good stewards of those gifts. And, like, I love and want to encourage you, even as a fellow dad, that, like, we need to keep encouraging people in positive ways about having kids, because they are a gift. And I'm so thankful for that advice. And, you know, I think it's always beautiful when, like, you're affirmed in that feeling, like, they're a gift. See them as a gift, appreciate them as a gift, love them as a gift.
Yep.
And yeah.
As a matter of fact, she just pulled in. I just heard her car pull in, and she walked in the door from work. So, all right, I'm turning the mic over to Kira and Jeremy. I've talked enough. Go ahead, guys. What you got?
Well, again, I don't have a lot, but I love your O Holy Night cover. It's really awesome. Do you guys ever plan on doing more covers?
Yeah. Yeah, so Josh, our guitarist, hates them. So it's always like pulling teeth to get him to learn those Christmas songs, because we have played them live before. And the goal is to get a catalog big enough to be able to open up for August Burns Red on the Christmas Burns Red. So that's definitely a goal. So that's for sure. I grew up listening to Christian rock and the Christmas covers and stuff. So, like, I grew up with, you know, Jingle Bell Rock by TFK and the August Burns Red, you know, Carol of the Bells. And I just think it's so cool when you can beef up a Christmas song. So, that the O Holy Night and First Noel, God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen, life just got in the way this year and it didn't happen, but for sure, like, that's going to be its own full EP one day with all those songs put together. I think it's just fun. It's for me, it's like a, why not? Yeah. Why not just make a cool Christmas cover if you can, right? Like,
absolutely. I'm a cover song nerd. So any cover song you guys put out, I am here for. Christmas or not, I am here for it. I love cover music. So I love it when bands put their own spin on something. So,
yeah, I mean, if we don't do it, then evidently AI will, because there's a bunch of mashup AI stuff out there. Every once in a while, I'll see, like, a collab video, and I'll think, oh, that's so cool, they collabed, and then you realize, oh no, they mashed up the AI songs together.
Yep.
I think AI can be used as a tool. It's really cool, but, like, for actual song creations, it just sucks when you get the curtain pulled and you're like, oh, that's not even real. That sucks. And
trust me, we get so many songs and we have to go through this intense scrutiny of them, and bands get offended because I've reached out and be like, listen, I gotta ask before I even listen to it, is this AI? Well, how can you ever ask that? Because we may get one or two actual songs, but we get five AI songs. And you got to ask, what's real, what's not?
Yeah, did you guys see on the Christian Metal chat that James Franchise all this time was AI? That he just wasn't even real. He was just this AI. Just kidding.
I did see that.
somebody accused him of being AI, and that's the problem, right? Like, especially with the music creation, like the people who actually are making real music can then get accused of it, and you know, like, and you never know. You never know. Yeah. I'm on the fence about like Peyton Parrish. Like, some of those songs sound a little AI-ish, you know, and like
they do.
But then he's been an artist for forever, so I doubt it.
Yeah.
So, you know, like there's things like that. I'm so on the fence about using AI at all, because you know, I'll be transparent. AI has been used in our artwork for stuff, and like, I think it's a really cool tool to be able to create imagery for things that you don't know how to do yourself or don't have a lot of money to be able to pay someone to do it. And if you're barely able to take opportunities as it is, it's a tool.
Yeah.
But if you're relying on it for everything, and especially the creative, like music making process, then how much are we willing to take humanity out of the art that is what we do? And right. So like that's an ongoing conversation these days, and it's good that we're talking about it, because it can be a real problem, and yeah. So.
Yeah. Well, another one of our friends was accused of being AI, and we literally had him on the show, seeing all of his instruments. Once we were done recording, he actually played his instruments for us. And then here we are, 4 years later, being told he's AI. I'm like, if he's AI, that was some really good AI 4 years ago.
How are we ever going to know? How are we ever going to know? And this is the thing, right? Unless you go to a live show and hear it for yourself and see the imperfections and everything, right? Because, like, that's the one thing that there's so many little tricks and things behind the curtain, like bands. And everybody that's big does this a little bit. They'll layer some vocals in their tracks, or they'll beef up the guitars and play some extra guitars in the tracks. And like, it's totally a thing that big bands do. And it's to make sure that the live experience feels larger than life. And like, but I even thought the other day, I was like, man, we're never going to know if like an artist puts their voice in an AI machine, and the AI is actually singing. It's not actually them. They just put their voice in an AI machine, so it sounds like they sang it. And it's them, but it's not really them, you know, like, and we'll never know. Because then when you see them live, if they do a live vocal track to beef up the vocals, then you might, you know, we're going to be in a weird place in the future with AI stuff. So that's why, like, making sure things are raw and crazy. I love when even in a studio recording, if you can catch some imperfections, like, little things that just, you know, that AI wouldn't ever do. This is one of the reasons I love Under Oath, right? Aaron Gillespie, his vocals, his voice cracks a lot in when he sings in those older albums. And like, that's an imperfection that we happen to love, because it's a characteristic of his voice. Or like John Cooper's rasp, right? Like John Cooper has a rasp to his voice, and especially when he screams, the imperfections are all like a characteristic of his real voice. So like, I try to make sure that I don't overthink too much when I'm recording stuff, because any little imperfection just proves I'm not AI, and you know.
I mean, I've even noticed on some tracks, you know, the singers taking a short breath, like you can actually hear that. But it's not to the point where it drives me crazy. It's like, that is human. Like, you get that human feel to it.
Yes.
Where it drives some people crazy. For me, it's like, oh, you got that authenticity of an actual song.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I know I said I was going to shut up, but what's that?
What's up?
I have to admit, for me, like, I always would criticize anytime I heard music like that. I was like, oh man, I can hear that. Like, but now because of AI, I'm actually grateful for the humanity that I hear in it. So that's the only good thing AI's done for me. That it's meaningful for the imperfections, and I look forward to them now.
Yeah, and like you were saying, even the breathing and stuff, right? Like I listen to a lot of Beartooth, and that's that he does that, like he's, you know, all that stuff. That was a big influence for Open Your Eyes, that big long scream at the end, where I do that breath where it's like, and then just let it out every live show. That's like I do my best to stick that mic in my mouth and just, and because it's like that's a real fun moment for me. It's the last screaming that I do in a show because it's our last song. So it's like, I don't care if I have a voice after this. It's you're getting all of it. So yeah, it's you throw that stuff in your songs.
Love it. All right, what you got, Kira?
I thought it was Jeremy's turn.
Oh, Jeremy, sorry.
So I know you've been talking about, you know, going out and playing places. Is there any place that you've been dying to go out and play?
I've been dying to go to Kingdom Come Fest. I'm not going to lie. We don't deserve it at all. So it's probably not going to happen anytime soon. But I will say, for the very reasons that I mentioned, just all the festivals that have been going on, not in California, that like there's such a cool family thing going on that we haven't had over here for a very long time. Spirit West Coast used to be out here in California area. Cornerstone Fest came one year, and like that really brought a lot of people together because we would get bands like Cutlass and TFK, and then like Hawk Nelson and Third Day, and you know, and then you know, screamo bands, and like there was such a diversity of genre. And I don't know, it was just over the years, around like 2016 or 17 or so, 2016, 2017, you know, that like for some reason nobody started coming over here. Spirit West Coast just kind of focused more on worship, and that's fine, but like the whole diversity of genres started to fade away. And so when I see a festival in another state that has that diversity of genres and looks like they've just got such a great family dynamic going on, oh man, of course I want to be a part of it and have our band be a part of it. And so like, we've seen that from Undead Revival, and definitely from Kingdom Come Fest. So like that for me is like the place, that's my home. I've seen some of you guys, you've been there, right? The Kingdom Come Fest. I think I've seen Rock for Him there, right?
Yeah, we've been there the last 2 years.
Yeah, so like seeing Katie, you know, over there.
Slater and
yeah, seeing all the people that I know from the Christian metal Facebook group, you know, like that's, you're all family. And the bands that I've done reviews for and done the whole reactions and reviews for on Sanctify Studios, like the. I really do, even though like they might not know me or I might not know them, or maybe we've talked and done an interview or something like that. Like it's still family. We're all still part of the Christian rock and metal family. So, I've said it before that I'm still very much a fan of just like Christian rock and metal. And whatever that means, like to me, I know that there's some Christ core bands out there that are going to be singing, you know, Christ is King. And that's amazing. And then there's some bands that don't say God or Christ in any of their songs, but you know that they're solid believers on and off the stage. And to me, like just knowing that there are believers, that there are members of the body who are making the music that God has called them to make, like that's my family. And I've always felt like I can be in a room with those people and know that I'm among brothers and sisters. So
love that. Love that. Well, if it makes you feel any better, there's two of the three hosts on here are kind of tied to festivals. So
the fun thing is that we have the ability to be able to do more festivals now. And so like the Lord has blessed us with that security now, whereas before we might not have had a drummer or might not have had the means to be able to go out and do that. And now we do. So like it's been so cool to know that those opportunities can now be taken. And this was, and like Undead Revival is part of that. We're doing a festival called Rise, AZ Fest in Arizona at the end of April. And so, we're about to announce that on our social media account, but that's been a cool opportunity. yeah, we want to take advantage of more opportunities to be able to get out there and share our testimonies, share these songs. You know, I know that there's a plethora of bands out there that are amazing, that might be saying some of the same words that we are, having some of the same genre and all that stuff. My heart is always that, like, hey, I know for me that the slightest difference in someone's voice sometimes makes the difference in connecting with someone. The slightest difference in genre, the slightest difference in guitar tunings or whatever you want, you know, those little differences sometimes is all it takes for God to, like, use your band to connect with someone. And we want to be that for someone. We want to make sure that we're able to connect with whoever God has called us to connect to as we're out in Ohio or Arizona or wherever else. And Lord willing, one day in Indiana. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, I got to tell you, you're absolutely correct in everything you just said. Just, you know, just sometimes just seeing a band live will completely change how you feel about that band. For example, my wife, she's an 80s girl. She likes, like, pop. She, you know, she's really big into, like, mainstream Christian music. Me, I'm a rock metal guy, and I was trying to get her to listen to Skillet. Okay, Skillet. I'm like, anybody can appreciate Skillet, and she's like, nope. It's rock. I don't want to do it.
It's rock. Skillet is definitely rock. Yeah.
We took rock. My daughter to Winter Jam because Skillet is her favorite band.
Mm-hmm.
And just seeing John up there and giving, you know, his testimony and sharing his heart. Now there's times where I'll get in the car and she's got Skillet playing on the radio. I'm like, have I started something here? Like, slowly but surely, you're coming to my side. She's joining the dark side. I love it.
Well, even what you guys had talked about, like, the covers, you know, like, I remember seeing Pillar do a cover of Umbrella, and Hawk Nelson doing a cover of, you know, some other big song at during that time, and, like, you know, Love and Death doing Let Me Love You, and, like, you know, there's so many examples of these bands doing covers, and I think that is a great tool to help connect some of, like, oh, we do have this in common, right? Or when someone shares their testimony, it's like, oh, we do have this in common, or they have a family, like, oh, we do have this in common, or whatever hardship that they're sharing. That's why I miss festivals like Spirit West Coast over here in California. And I'm so excited to be a part of, like, Undead Revival and Rise AZ and whatever else in the future, because, like, when you bring a bunch of people together in crowds and put people who are willing to share their testimonies, willing to share their hearts, willing to share the hardships that they've gone through for the sake of God to use that to connect with someone, like, beautiful things happen. And and that's something that AI is never going to be able to do. AI is not going to be able to have someone have the strength to share their story and their testimony. You know, I think of even, like, Zana. I've heard her share her testimony in a live show and seen a lot of where she's written from. And I really appreciate stuff like that, where it's like she has gone through hell and back and looked death in the face, right? And was able to persevere, overcome, and look where she's at now. And, like, yeah, you know, being able to share from the heart in those ways and connect with people is a beautiful thing.
And plus, she also does an amazing cover of Look What You Made Me Do.
Like, exactly.
I don't like Taylor Swift's music, but she does an amazing cover of it. So, but looking at the time, we are quickly running out of time here. Real quick, we have a comment here in our Facebook group that maybe you can touch on, Adam. Donald asks, I'm trying to reconcile being a Christian in a band, not being a Christian band, like an undercover Christian band, instead of a blatant Christian band.
Yeah, you know, I think that when you're a Christian no matter what. So, like, there is no reason why the Adam whether Classic Disaster could be characterized as a Christian band or not, or any other band, right? Like I know Trevor from Heal the Hurts talked about this a lot on podcasts, where it's like sometimes you want to be real and admit that like these songs are not worship songs. Like these songs are not written with the intent to be like Christian worship songs. This is just my heart and what I was going through. And if I label it Christian and people expect it to say like Christ is King and it's a worship song and it's like all these things, like that's a certain expectation, and we'll always fall short of that. Like we'll always fall short of being lumped in with other bands that might like literally be worshiping God with their songs. But I don't think that that's a pass then for other people who say, well, no, we're not a Christian band. We're just Christians in a band. And then it gives them a pass for maybe touching on subjects that are unfruitful or they start cussing in their songs and they start like cussing from the stage live and start drinking on stage and start doing all these things that like, hey, you know, that's all its own conversation. Can you be a Christian and still cuss, or can you be a Christian and still drink? Like, eh. But like, yes, but like, I think that you still are an example as a believer, and you're still an example as a Christian, and everything that you write, everything that you do, everything that you present yourself as, you are still setting some sort of an example. And I think that if you want to describe yourself as Christians in a band, then be Christians still. Like, be Christ followers, be Christ-like, right from your heart. Don't allow like your flesh to muddy up that process. You can write a non-Christian song and still it be from the perspective of a Christian, and God will use it to connect with people, and God will use that like sanctified version of the song that you're writing. And it doesn't have to be a like Christian song. That's kind of where I come from in my thought process with those things, because I think that there can be a lot of judgment for bands that don't label themselves as Christian bands when they're the most solid dudes, they're the most solid believers, and they will preach when the Lord calls them to preach, and they just don't believe it's in their songs that they want to do that, because they're too busy like writing about how maybe people have wronged them, and how they or how like they want to talk about relationships. I think of like acoustic artists who are believers and they're writing love songs for their wives and for like their families and stuff, like country artists, you know, they're not writing Christian songs, but they're believers and they're writing from that perspective of a believer for these other things. So that's where I come at that conversation with. I don't think that being Christians in a band though is a pass for then living a non-Christian lifestyle on stage. I think that if you're a Christian, you're a Christian on and off stage. You're a Christian when you write your songs. You're a Christian when you are out shaking hands with people and talking and having conversations. And if the Lord gives you an opportunity, then you take it. But I think that there is a certain expectation that comes with being a Christian band. And I don't think that that's for everyone. I don't think that that's an expectation that God puts on us to write every song as if it's a worship song and for it to be Christian themed in that way.
Right.
Yeah, agree.
For sure. All right, I'm going to give my co-host a chance to ask one last question before we get ready to wrap it up. So, Jeremy, do you got anything?
Nah, I'm good.
All right. Kira, what you got?
Just really quick, can you quickly explain to us what Sanctify Studios is?
Yeah, so Sanctify Studios is my YouTube channel where I do reviews and breakdowns of a bunch of different Christian rock and metal songs. And it's been a while since I've been able to do anything there. I'm a music director at a new church in Bellflower, and so a lot of that has been the reason kind of just settling into that role. And and then also I got my 2-year-old boy, and we just welcomed in a new baby girl, and so like life is kind of happening there. But super excited to be able to jump back into. There's so many new Christian rock and metal songs that have come out, Nate Parrish and all the Peyton Parrish stuff that's come out, and then who just released a new song too that was really cool. Ben S. Dixon's coming out with his music soon. Actually, I'm featured on a new Ben S. Dixon song that's coming out this month, so that's going to be cool. I was able to work with him on a song like way back a couple years ago, and it's finally coming out because he's taken his hiatus. So yeah, fun things happening there still. Just hasn't been, it's just been a while. But yeah, Sanctify Studios is my YouTube channel. And it's also been the hub for where we've been able to put out music, because all of our music has been DIY. That EP was all self-recorded, produced, mixed, mastered. And then Pray for Peace, same thing. So, yeah.
Love it. All right. Well, as you know, one of the most important parts of our show is praying for our guests. How can we be praying for you today, besides the fact that you have a new beautiful baby girl?
Well, definitely that. Pray for my wife, Jaylene. She's been a rock star, just been my rock and foundation at home. And she's with a newborn. She's still in recovery from that, but she's been so strong through it, and it's gonna be fun. It's so fun when you are in a relationship and you constantly learn more about your partner through the different life experiences. So like, you think you know things for one kid, but then you constantly learn more and more after other things happen. And so ever since Emma's been born, there's just been more of that. And I love learning more about my wife and how she is and how she grows and how, you know, we're going to be a girl mom and dad now. So that's going to mean new things. And so, yeah, pray for her. The band's got a new lineup with festivals on the schedule now. So like, that's awesome. That's big. The writing process, putting out the album, all that stuff would be great. So,
all right.
I gotta say, I love the name Emma. That's my daughter's name too.
Awesome. Oh, that's so cool.
All right, well, I will go ahead and pray us out. So, great and heavenly Father, I thank you so much for Adam. I thank you for his heart for you and for his music. Lord, I just ask that you watch over his new baby girl. Lord, just protect her, put a hedge of protection around her, and just help him and his wife to raise her to know and love you with all of her heart. Lord, I ask that you watch over his son. Just help him to really welcome in this new sister of his and to love on her and protect her as a big brother should. Lord, I ask that you give Adam and his wife, Janine, just the patience and care that they need as they deal with this new time in their lives and the changes to their family. I ask that you watch over Adam as he prepares for this new music. Just help that to flow and let it be a blessing to you. Watch over his new band lineup, his new bandmates. Lord, we're so thankful that you brought the right people to him and you're giving him the opportunity to create music with them. And Lord, you know where you want them to play. Just make it financially possible for them. Open those doors. And Lord, we thank you so much for him, his music, for the band, and for his family. They're such wonderful people, even though we don't know him personally, you do. So thank you for all that. Lord, I thank you for Kira. I thank you for Jeremy. I thank you for our other co-hosts that are not here right now. Scott and Riker, I'm looking at you. And Lord, we thank you more than anything for sending your son, Jesus, to die for our sins on the cross. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen.
Amen. Thank you guys so much. And thank you guys for inviting me on. It's always a blast. And I love you guys and everything you're doing.
Well, thank you. We appreciate that. And next time you come on, you got to bring the rest of the group on. We want to meet them.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yes. We're doing band practices now too. So it's so exciting. It's awesome. We haven't actually had regular band practices in a very long time. So the Lord is good. We've got some fun content coming up, and yeah, it's going to be great.
Awesome. Well, Kira, you want to go ahead and land this plane?
Yes. All right. Well, thank you, Adam. Thank you. We appreciate it. This has been awesome. He's with Classic Disaster. Please check him out. Thank you, Jeremy, for showing up. And remember, guys, if you're going to rock, rock for him.
If you like what you saw today, hit the subscribe and like button down below, and don't forget to share it to all your friends. Also, leave us a comment down below. If you're gonna rock, rock for him.
Coming up next week, we talk to Patrick Rivers, 3 Days Under.